What's happening, everybody? It's the Grown Man-ish podcast. I'm Mike J, and with me, I got my brother from another mother.
Bow tie fresh in the building. What's going on this Friday, my brother?
Hey, man, chilling, brother. Chilling. Laid up in the, not laid up, because actually sitting up. Got the Grown Man-ish merch, Naptown Edition colors on. Got that, got that horseshoe blue and white on. You dig? But, man, what's going on with you, bro?
Not much, man. Chilling, low key, ready to get the weekend started. Got some plans for it with my little guys, and they got some little birthday parties and things to go to, and so we're gonna do that. We got some little spring cleaning. My son is getting older and wanting to get rid of some of the toys and trying to just transition into that older phase in life. So we're gonna be cleaning out some rooms and making some space and that sort of deal. Like I said, got a couple birthday parties to take them to, and it's kind of chill, man. Looking forward to a low-key weekend, man. Like, not a whole bunch of just mess going on. What you getting into this weekend, man?
Oh, man, making some merch. Man, my lady got to work tomorrow. And so I told them, depends on when she listens to it, but I'm going to do a little surf and turf for Valentine's Day because, it was Thursday, so we both had to work like yesterday. So, and we both got to work. She got to work late today. Do a little surf and turf, get a little, okay, little steak and no, try to find no. some lobster tails and then hook it on up.
No doubt, man. Definitely dig that, man. I'm gonna try to watch me a couple of movies, man. I know that I've been waiting, been hearing rumor. You know me, the nerd at the cool table. I've been hearing that the Star Wars trailer is supposed to be dropping either today or tomorrow. So I've been on, on tap, certain, making sure that I got my little rumor sites up and YouTube up and all that type of stuff, man. I'm waiting patiently. I was hoping I was going to get this during the Super Bowl, man. Like, because how the Super Bowl has the major trailers for movies and stuff, but didn't get anything. So this kind of got me hyped. Like I said, Bowtie Fresh is the nerd at the cool table. So trying to heavily anticipating the movie coming out, and it's going to be the end of the Skywalker saga and entering another phase of the movie, storyline and all that type of stuff. So I'm extra hype about it, man. Extra hype waiting for this trailer.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. I mean, my lady, she loves Star Wars. I took her for her birthday, the last one that came out. Yo, and I was in there knocked out.
Oh,
it's a long ass movie, man. Like, yo, you can tell me everything you need to tell me in 2 hours. Yeah, I was just like, yo, come on, man. Come on, Luke. You all. I'm not losing no fight to Luke. Luke like 4'9", dog. Luke long like he got no damn hand. Luke like his hands is trash as hell. You can put the gas saber off. I can put his pistol out.
Luke said he channeled his inner Marvin Harrison, allegedly, hands like a ninja.
With the Belgian weapon.
Belgian weapon.
I will shoot Luke allegedly with the Belgian weapon, bro. I am not losing to no Luke. I ain't lose. To quote my the great Bernard Hopkins, I ain't losing to no white boy, especially no white boy like Luke.
Oh, no.
you got, hey, bro, you got, hey, man, I just ain't, I ain't going out like that. But, man, so you said you ain't got some, you ain't doing no Valentine's Day,
bro? Nah, man, just low key, man. Yeah. Just done a lot of stuff with my boys. Just kind of looking forward to the weekend and hanging out, more so. That's about it, man.
Yeah, my God.
Man, I wanted to drop something in on you, though, bro.
What's up?
Something that I read the other day, and I hit you up on the text late yesterday, either group text or maybe the, our Twitter group text or whatnot, man. But did you see the Imperial Wizard for the Ku Klux Klan was found dead, murdered, shot to death? See that?
No, I didn't see it. Where was he at? His house?
Allegedly, it's true, but Frank Acona, who was the Imperial Wizard for the traditionalists of the American Knights of the Ku Klux Klan, was found shot to death near a family fishing area, near Big River. A family fishing area near Big River. And this is in Missouri.
Oh, man. I didn't hear about that.
Found shot with a gunshot wound to the head, and the authorities are saying that it was not self-inflicted, treating it as a homicide.
Oh,
so man.
Life comes at you fast.
life comes at you fast, man. Like he said, he was 51 years old. It's like, man, I'm not I don't want to say, you know, with black excellence, but, you know, whenever someone spews hate and that type of stuff that goes around, you know, I'm not praising or glorifying anybody's death. But all I'm going to say is, you know, like Mike J said, life comes at you fast. What goes around comes around. You know,
that bullet came at him fast.
Hey, man. I mean, you think they've got the bulletproof cone head, cone helmet, cone cloak?
I don't know that he had the helmet on when he did it. He probably had on some tidy whities, a dirty shirt, and dag on this cone. Probably, you know, giving himself some self-love. You know,
man.
That's how he's out here wilding. But I wanted to talk about Melvin. Did you hear about the dude Melvin who left the voicemail on the young lady?
Yeah.
So for those who haven't known, so Melvin is a gentleman in San Diego, and he approached a young lady, and you know he got her number and everything. So I guess he, you know, sometimes women give you a number. Sometimes when I talk to women, they say they give a number to a guy because they might be scared because he won't leave them alone. Or this time, like, you know, she must mind have gave him the number, was filling in, like, oh, girl, why'd I get a number to this nigga? Why'd I get a number to Melvin? So anyway, she gave a phone number to Melvin, and Melvin, you know, she wasn't really responding. So you would think the normal person brain, like, ah, he ain't messing with me. It's whatever. Yo, Melvin leaves her, like, this minute-long voicemail talking about she, you know, I want to holler at you because you had a nice face and a nice body, but you wore a wig like a 90-year-old woman. I got bad ones all in San Diego. You work your little minimum wage job. So Melvin sound like a sucker. Like, fellas, if a woman don't want you, bruh, just take it as it is, man. It's millions of women on the earth. Don't worry about it if she don't want to be bothered with you, bruh. Be done with it. You out here make yourself like a sucker in a lane. So now all these people on the internet, like, at least she probably think she had like 20,000 retweets and likes. They know about your sucker-like behavior. All for one woman, bro. Can you believe that?
That's crazy. Well, the thing too, like on the voicemail, I listened to the little voicemail. Like, dude was like really trying to go in on her, you know, trying to berate her and, you know, say malicious things about her. But then he turns around and is like, "You must be stupid. You don't know who I am. I've got plenty of hoes and this and that, and so forth and so on." And it's kind of like, well, if you got plenty of hoes, then why are you calling me?
Yeah.
Why are you spending time leaving this dumb shit on my voicemail? You know, if I was a female, you know, even as a guy, you know, just outside looking in and seeing all this, it's like, this motherfucker's real lame. Because if you was all what you say you are, you wouldn't be wasting your time.
Not at all, Melvin.
So, Melvin.
Yeah, I didn't even know they made niggas named Melvin anymore. I thought they stopped with the Temptations. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Y'all think, I think it's a Melvin to play for the Chargers or something like that. But I thought they stopped.
Melvin Gordon?
Yeah, I thought they stopped making niggas named Melvin, man. So I thought after Harold Melvin in the Blue Notes and Melvin from the Tunnel, I thought them niggas was out of here. I had a great uncle, Melvin. Yeah, he was a, you know, I think he had some bodies on. The boy came down. Hey, when my uncles and them came from Missouri to Jersey, boy, they came in like Frank Lucas and them boys on the damn movie, American Gangster. Man, all them conks and them damn shiny-ass suits. Look at these niggas here.
Man. Tell you, man. Like, cats like this, though, cats like Melvin are just some straight lame cats, man. Like, cats like Melvin is probably the dudes that was having viewing parties for the Tiana Trump release.
Oh, yeah. You know, like, yo, you gonna watch it, yo, man. Hey, come on, man. Bring some wings.
We gonna play 2K afterwards.
Yeah, lemon. Hey, boy, gonna exhaust himself to the side, like, oh, man. Oh, man, Melvin lame as hell. But speaking of lame, bro, you seen Kells and they said he got another tape, man.
Oh, man, yeah, I saw that.
I guess it's alleged because we ain't trying to get sued because, you know, he looked like the type of sucker that would try to sue two independent brothers if he's, you know, basically raping our women, allegedly. But, yeah, man, they said Kells was out there and they said during the tape, the girl said, basically, screw my 14-year-old, word that starts with a P. And Kells responded like, oh, this is a good 14-year-old, word that starts with a P. And I say that not that, you know, not that we don't curse on this podcast and thing like that, but to me, to talk about a child and use that type of language makes me sick.
Yeah,
My daughter's 11, bro.
Real uncomfortable.
Real uncomfortable. My daughter's 11, bro. I would have to go to jail for trying to kill Kells. I don't know. I was seeing Anthrax, something. I don't know. Maybe, you know, and I would send him something. You know, I would send him a book because I think that would kill him because he can't read. But,
damn.
No, man, it's sickening for that. My dog, you can set up a damn traveling sex ring and you like pimping on somebody and you get all this money, but your ignorant ass can't learn how to read. No.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, that's what I talk about. I ain't shaming nobody, but dog, you got plenty of ways.
Yeah, plenty of resources.
But you can't, but you can't have Reed, and you know, come on, man. So I know Spotify has the mute button, and I know Tidal does too. I'm gonna have to check on my Tidal today and see how I can mute Kels, man, because I just can't, dog. Like, you just,
yeah, man.
You give a brother a chance. He's like, oh, okay, the first chance. Like, oh, that, I didn't believe the Aaliyah thing. I just thought that I was a kid. The girl, yeah, sex tape thing, I was like, well, you know, it was the girl 14. You know, you give a little bit of leeway. Then it's just like, oh, okay, this nigga, he just won't stop.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, bro. So, like you said, you just brought up a few different things from his past and, you know, the different things that have gone on. With the alleged surfacing of this second tape, allegedly, do you think that this is that the straw that's going to break the Kels back? Do you think that this is that one thing that's like, you know what, you're going under the jail? Or do you think that this thing is going to still be kind of like it has been in the past?
Unless they paid the girl off, but the dude who allegedly turned in the tape went and got an attorney as a whistleblower. So I think it's honestly going to be, it's still gonna be hard, because you kind of hard to, if somebody, you know, you don't know if the young lady is gonna say she was there or not, because yeah, you know, in his weird mind, he could be telling a girl of age to say that I'm young and blah 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 blah. You know, who knows? I don't know, man.
Yeah.
With Kels, it, dude, I personally think it is, because eventually, I believe that karma gets you, and we can get religious past karma and everything. But I just believe, like, yo, I think it is, man. And dude, you got a serious problem. You are like a deviant in society. So
yeah, I think it's a time. Like, I know that he's still trying to do a lot of stuff. I know he's touring overseas, and you know, you see him pop up on different social medias, and you see people pop up, you know, supporting him and all that type of stuff. I think there comes a time and a place where there's so much going on around you or with regards to you. You kind of got to be quiet a little bit and, you know, let things play out. If you are innocent and all that type of stuff, I understand not, you know, living your life and innocent to proven guilty and all that type of stuff, but there's just so much crap going on. And it's almost like some of the things that you see, it's almost like he's antagonizing. Like,
yeah,
he's just like going at it purposefully. So I think that there's a time, my opinion,
it's an arrogant
thing. You got to take a step back and kind of just chill a little bit and let things play out. If you are truly innocent, in my opinion, there's too much going on where this sets points to not. But again, who am I? But also, from my perspective, I really hope that the individuals involved, including him, but more so the victims, the young ladies, the women, and the cults, and all the people that are affected, like, I really hope that those individuals are able to get the help that they need so that they can continue their lives in a better way. Because, man, that's got to have, outside of rape and sexual assault, diabolical, putrid, just vile acts. But the individuals that, you know, are affected emotionally and that sort of deal, that they have not had those other vile acts committed against them, but just kind of that brainwashing and all that type of stuff, I really hope those individuals are able to get the help that they need to try to better their lives going forward, man. Because the shit that is alleged that has been going on, that is going on or has gone on, it's just fucking crazy, man. And that shit will affect people for a long, long time, man. So definitely hope that those individuals are able to get the help that they need so that they can kind of come out of that situation.
Yeah, bro. It's beyond sickening, man. So that nigga there, Kels, man, I mean, eventually, man, they gonna find that nigga dead with that daggone Piper mask around his eyes. Hey, man.
Damn.
Hey, bro, that, man, you doing too much, man. Allegedly giving these girls STDs and all that type of stuff. Like, bro, he's out here. Oh, wow. Like he's out here wilding.
Pulling an Usher Raven, allegedly.
Hey, you know, hey, man, you hear Usher got the hammer put on him?
Yeah, I heard he got pistol whipped. Him and a couple of buddies got pistol whipped in a studio.
Yeah, they said it was Rich the Kid. They was coming after Rich the Kid. Rich the Kid already got beat up before and pistol whipped. So I'm like, eesh.
Yeah.
Like, dog, you need to get in there. If I'm Usher, I'm like, yo, I'm not even trying to be seen with you, dog. Anytime, like, a pistol whip is personal. It's one thing, yeah. You know what I'm saying? That you pull a hammer on somebody and shoot, that could just happen. A pistol with somebody? Oh yeah, no, that's one of them things where you didn't. That's somebody that owed you some money, or then you done you bodily harm, done you wrong, bro. So,
shout out, man. To you think Usher had that 1996 SWV bob when it happened? Hairstyle.
Damn! You know he had the struggle braids the other day last time I saw him. So, he didn't have like the beige skanks perm like he had from Greenleaf on the other day, man. So, shout out to that dude playing Basie Skanks, because now he's playing on that American Soul, the movie Soul Train. I'm on the show about Soul Train. Yo, they was out here wilding, yo, man. Don Cornelius hit a bump of cocaine. He was drinking. Don was out here.
Hey man, you gotta call him Donnie. Yeah,
nah, and I think he wants to refer to as Don. Anytime you know man ready to fight James Brown's gun, do a bump of cocaine all in one night, you get that man the respect he deserves. Don. In fact, he might be Mr. Cornelius. Yo, you do a bump of cane and ready to fight some goons all in one night, bro. Hey, he's a real one. But speaking of somebody who's an anti-real one, that damn Trump news, man. And I seen the president, yo, he got his medicals back, and they said he's at a swell 243 pounds. He said he is overweight and obese. So you can tell the way you can be a big guy, have your suits fit clean, man. But his suits are just so damn trash, man. You can tell they're not tailored. He just looks punch and just, I bet he sit up in the bed during executive time after he finishes, you know what I'm saying, smacking himself around for eat that first that first Big Mac in the morning, and if in the filet of fish and a Diet Coke, and he's ready to go after watching Fox and Friends, man. But I did want to talk about something serious. Two things, and we push on past the orange one. Yo, man, did you see his tweet about Elizabeth Warren?
Yeah, I saw it, but I didn't really pay it. I see things from him, I'm kind of like, I look at it and I just move on. But yeah, I did.
It took me a while to catch it. I was like, why do they keep saying? Because I didn't realize at first when I saw he capitalized trail and campaign trail. So anybody who knows that's you know his since Elizabeth Warren is saying that she's Native American. That's a little old to the Trail of Tears. So he is.
Yeah.
Like,
piece of crap.
The dog whistles with him or go above and beyond, man. But another thing that's going to be, y'all need to be looking out for, is the former FBI director, Andrew McCabe, wrote a book.
Yes.
He's talking about them detailed notes he talked about Trump, talking about Trump was talking about he hated Comey, and, you know, Les talked about his wife and all this other type of stuff.
That book. Definitely want to be on the lookout for that.
Yeah, that book is going wild.
This presidency has literally, and I said this when he was running, but this presidency literally is and has turned into a damn reality show. Like this, all the things that are happening, it almost seems like somebody from VH1 is writing all this shit, and it's just happening. It's just happening. Like this is a bad. Not even VH1 reality show. Like this is terrible. Like the shit that goes on with this dude, the shit that comes out about the things that he says and does, number one, are just ridiculous. But the things that other people are coming out saying that he does, and the way he acts and the way he talks, and that's what, man, it's crazy. I'm waiting for him to literally try to fight somebody on like you know how they have the reunion shows or different reality shows. I'm waiting for him to try to fight somebody at a press conference.
Fire!
You know what I'm saying? Like this shit is comical and it's sad at the same time, because all of us, the American citizens, are at the mercy of this dumbass's decision. I'm not even gonna talk about the whole him declaring or threatening or probably going to declare a national emergency just to build this goddamn wall. Who does that affect? All of us. Who is he always talking about? Oh, I'm for the American people, and I'm for this, and I'm for that. No, you're not, or else you wouldn't be doing this stuff. That's a whole other story. Yeah.
And then also, you're going to have your homies build the wall so you get them kickbacks. So,
yeah.
Man, you know, it is what it is. So, all I know is people vote for your best interests, you know, financially and your merits and everything else. So, you know, we can get on that when the time's cold, but you know, vote for your best interest. Don't be clouded by somebody who speaks in small words, make you feel better about yourself, but whatever. I don't want to spend too much time on dude, man. So let's get to this Mayo, bro. So, you know, I'm perusing the Twitter the other day, and this
Twitter.
The Twitter. you know, P-A-T-S-A. So Pete Hegseth, my man, is on Fox and Friends. Now, I'm not a person who watches Fox and Friends. I'm not going to lie to y'all. I don't hate those who do, but I can't stomach it. But this, my man said that he was talking about eating, like, pizza that sat outside in germaphobes. And then for one who knows Mike J, I'm a germaphobe. The man said that he hasn't washed his hands in 10 years.
That's vile. That is disgusting.
And at first, and then he said, then he doubled down. Then he said, he was just joking. Germaphobes and liberals, just relax. I was like, okay, whatever.
Wow.
But I wanted to ask you, you know, we're both in leaderships at our respective organizations. Have you ever seen a coworker exit the restroom? And we're gonna, and I, and for me, it's gonna be a man because we don't have the
co-ed restroom,
so it would be a man, right? Have you ever seen someone like walk out the restroom without washing their hands, like a coworker?
Yes, yeah.
Or in your underwear?
I've seen several people do it, and it's extremely trifling. But here's the catch: being an individual that's in senior leadership in my organization. And the position that I'm in, it's my job to call that thing out because I'm a healthcare provider and we work in a healthcare setting. So it's my job to call that out. So I have also called out many people that have done that with regards to leaving the restroom without washing their hands, simply because, again, we are in a healthcare setting. And that's going, not only does it have serious effects outside of the healthcare setting, but when you're in the healthcare setting, it's extremely important. So I've gotten a wide variety of responses, but then oftentimes when I state my position or individuals see my badge, they quickly change it up and just, you know, go ahead, go back and wash their hands and, you know, go about their business. So it's not necessarily me trying to have like a little power play or power trip or anything like that. But as a healthcare provider, I take that shit very seriously because people's lives literally are in our hands. And we don't want people's lives in those nasty-ass hands that don't get washed after you done wiped your ass or pissed or dug in your nose or whatever the case may be.
No, it's been times I've went in there just to put some solution in my eyes for my contacts. I still wash my hands. Dog, I done had to touch the door. Even when I'm covering my hand, trying to put my shirt there, I'm still in that element. Yo, I just feel like I have to wash my hands. And it's just, you know, it's disgusting. So I had an underling. And I seen this guy, you know, I went to the restroom, I go to the stall. Yeah, I know, right? Yo, he did some peasant ass shit. No pun intended. So, you know, I handle my business, I'm washing my hands. Dude comes out the stall. I move out the way so he can go. Yo, man looked in the mirror, ran his hands through his hair, and walked right on out.
Ew.
Yo, I was at another job and I seen a dude.
Hey, that's a whole another definition of grease in your hair, huh?
No, right. He put that part in his hair. He's ready to go. I'm like, golly, that's just disgusting, man. But like I said, man, Pete, you normally this would be Twizzler and mayo material, but we got some actually important stuff to get a Twizzler for. So this is a lot of mayo. People who don't wash their nasty goddamn on hands, that's beyond the worst. I just couldn't imagine it, man. Like, yo,
I can totally just get on a huge ass soapbox as a healthcare provider just about hand washing.
Man, it's
so
not even the healthcare,
but it is so disgusting.
It's human decency, bro.
Yeah,
it ain't even.
I mean, this dude said he ain't washed his hands in 10 years. You know how many times that dude has wiped his ass, blown his nose,
you know, ate his food, dug in his eyes.
And probably cooking at home and all kinds of mess, man.
Ugh. Yeah, man. But let's get to the Twizzler, bro. Excuse me. So, you know, this week, man, the Twizzler goes out to a couple individuals. And the first, man, did you see that sheriff in Florida?
Yeah, it pissed me the hell off. But
so,
yeah.
for those who may not have saw, there's a black man, a black woman, and I believe that was a black man's son. And he's out there, and he's sitting on the curb, and I don't know why the cops were there. I don't. So the cop is cursing at the guy. He's like, why are you cursing at me? Calling him boy, asking for his ID. He's like, I don't need to show you any other. I ain't did anything. Boy, boy, boy. It's like, you know, it's basically.
Like, deliberately trying to provoke him.
Yeah, it's like.
Like, he literally was trying to provoke him. There was no de-escalation at all of that. He was trying to provoke that man.
Yeah.
Cursing at him, cursing in front of him. The man had his damn kid in his hand. He was holding his baby. Yeah, like, and you can you acting like this, calling him boy, and man, get the hell out of here. But anyway, I didn't mean to cut you off, man.
No. It pissed me off. It pissed me off for real. But yeah, man. So you know, it's about decency and treating people with respect. And you know, we in political times. We're just in a time in our country that we are treated the absolute worst. Yeah. And I'm talking about people of color. And it's just like anything with a police officer, and I'm not dogging out all cops, but for me, even when I got pulled over in Pennsylvania, right, I really think if my grandmother wasn't in the car with me, they would have tossed my car looking for something because I have tinted windows, but I live in another state. You know what I'm saying? So it's always that nervousness when, you know, and there has to be some communication on both sides, but still situations like that, I could, as a man, I couldn't imagine having been with my family and another, I ain't nobody's boy. I'm a grown ass man. And for you to keep calling me boy like that, which has all these negative racial undertones, it's sickening, man. So I want to give this the Broward County Sheriff, man. I want to give him that Twizzler. Like, you know how he has a sheriff badge and he, you know, it's nice and pointy. I want to put that Twizzler up, shine that motherfucker up. You know, put some red 40 on that bad boy and let him sit and spin. Have somebody call him boy while he's around his family over and over again, because it's sickening and disgusting. But you can call somebody out that ain't in front of their kid. You shouldn't do it anyway. There should be a level of respect between law enforcement and citizens. Yeah. Sides. But it's sickening, man.
And for you to be acting, for him to act in an aggressive nature while this man is holding his child, like, you're being aggressive literally towards this baby. Yeah. Yeah, not just this man, but this baby is being an indirect victim of your aggressiveness as a police officer. So then what message are you sending to this small child? Oh man, cops or the police are going to act like this towards me. Yeah. They're going to treat me like this. It's sickening, man. It's absolutely sickening. Yes. His punk ass need to go.
All right, Bosa. So talk to us about Floyd Mayweather, man.
Ah, man, Floyd Mayweather. And for those of us, for those that listen to the show, you guys may say, oh, you guys are biased or this or that. Yeah, we unbiased. We get a Twizzler to anybody who deserves it. Floyd Mayweather. I'm sure you guys all know Floyd Mayweather. If you don't, you know, that's Mr. Money Team, professional boxer. You know, and I'm not taking any of that away from him. Hell of a boxer, hell of a fighter. He's a hell of a businessman. He's created a market for himself and that sort of thing. However, Floyd Mayweather he was caught on video. I believe it was TMZ that was asking him the questions and talking to him during this time. But for those who don't know, there's a lot of controversy going on around Gucci, the brand Gucci. And there were some items that they were selling that kind of implied, as they say, implied blackface, that sort of deal. So basically there was a sweater, a turtleneck, and when you pull the turtleneck up for warmth, it has kind of the red lips or whatnot around it. Mike J and I talked about this a little bit last week, but just giving you some context. So Floyd Mayweather, an African-American professional boxer, professional athlete, businessman, is seen and talked to going on a rant about Gucci. He's at the Gucci store shopping for Gucci. So people are asking him, you know, are you going to spend your money there? Are you going to support Gucci? So forth and so on. And Floyd Mayweather is like, look, I'm going to do what the hell I want to do. Or he said, I'm going to do what the fuck I want to do. I'm going to live my life and I do what I want to do. I'm not no follower. That's what he said. Yeah. I'm not no follower. I do what I want to do. So whatever trends or whatever people are saying or doing, you know, that's what they're going to do. I'm going to live my life and I'm going to do me. So he kind of goes, like I said, he goes on this rant, goes on, you know, to talk about how he's spending or going to be supporting Gucci, you know, doing what he wants to do. And I believe he spent, let's say $40,000 or $60,000, something like that. I don't remember the number, but he spent up a lot of money in the store. So they talk to him as he's coming out. He kind of goes on the same rant. For me personally, I'm going to let my Jay chime in on this too, but for me personally, I didn't expect anything less. Floyd Mayweather has a checkered history, you know, with various things. Number one, again, I respect the man in the boxing ring and things that he's done for his business and his brand, but I do think that, in my opinion, he's a punk ass. You know, he has been known to put his hands on women in an aggressive fashion.
Multiple times.
He has been known to do some other sketchy things. So he doesn't really have my respect outside of the boxing ring. Like I said, I always respect the man's profession. He's a hell of a fighter. But in this regard, man, he's got to sit on that Twizzler, and he's gonna get the designer Twizzler. He's gonna get that 2021 Gucci runway Twizzler that when you sit on it, kind of shoots out the little spikes, like kind of goes pull and peel, but they sharp, so he can't come off of that bad boy. Because that's what he deserves right now, man. For his individual that's as large as him, his platform, he should be trying to do more things to promote peace, to promote tolerance, to promote positivity. And for him just to kind of go in and say, you know, well, F whatever y'all going through, I'm living my life. That's true to an extent, but at the same time, you can't just you dissing your race. You actually going out and saying, you know, I really can care less about any social injustices or ineptities that are going on. Because I'm rich. I believe he's even made derogatory comments against the LGBTQ community before. So again, like, it's not just his race and not just a racial thing. Like, this, Floyd doesn't seem to have a care in the world for anybody outside of Floyd Mayweather, women or anybody else. So Floyd, you get that premium Gucci Twizzler now.
The one, you know, the one that smells like Soulja Boy's forehead.
Forehead.
Hey man, but no, speaking of that, did you hear that T.I., the new T.I. song, Fuck Nigga?
Yeah.
Yo, man, he got Floyd up out of here. And then Floyd tried to have a response that obviously his PR person wrote. Because I am not shaming people who struggle with reading that, because Floyd and R. Kelly make way more money than I ever could dream of. But damn, you know he didn't write all that stuff. That was just like when he got into it with 50. 50 said, who wrote it? You know what I'm saying?
Yo, 50 man, is petty as hell, man.
Hey, man, yo, petty. You know, 50 said his Gucci on fire the other day. Then he almost burned his hands. Did you see that?
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, but yeah, man. shout out to Tip, man. He flamed the fuck out of Floyd, man. So, you know, like I said, you can keep you can make all the money in the world. You can still keep your integrity. And then, you know, Floyd just didn't, between, you know, being a known, and he went to jail for hitting a woman. So, and also, he's been like 7-8 times he's been accused of it. So maybe just the trend. But, you know, I don't know, man. So he can sit on the Twizzler. But, man, let me ask you this. We're on sports, bro. Did you watch that American football, that new AAF, the new football league? Did you watch that the other day?
Yeah, I didn't get the chance to watch it. I plan on watching it this upcoming weekend. I didn't get a chance to watch that the opening games. I was out doing some things and, you know, living my best life. But I did see some highlights of that bad boy, man. I don't know what quarterback it was, but he took a hellacious hit, man. Yo. My God.
Yo,
I heard that it was pretty entertaining though. Like, I didn't hear a lot of people like trying to shit on it or what. I heard it was pretty decent for what it's worth, you know.
Put like this, bro. My man got laid out. I ain't getting laid out like that for no $70,000 a year. I can be like, what my man sound Street Fighter, go home and be a family man. It's time to go home and be a family man. Remember my man helmet popped off. Yeah, you ain't in the NFL, you in the AAF. You got a non-guaranteed contract. So you got a 3-year non-guaranteed contract. They can cut you and you don't get none of this money. And you out here risking getting your head bashed in for this? No, no, no. Not me would be the kid. But I watched a little bit of it. But I like football, but I'm not enough to really watch guys who, like, has-beens and stuff like that in the NFL. I mean, if it's on, I'm like, not nothing else to do. I'll maybe check it out. But I just rather stick to, like, college, you know, into the NFL.
Hey, man, I got to ask you this question, man. I got to What's ask up? You this question. And shout out our brethren, Mike Jack. I know he's going to have some feelings about this, but, man, how you feel about your boy Trent Richardson?
Oh, man, yeah, you know, I heard Trent was out here balling.
Was he? I didn't see nothing on it, man, but yeah. I know there's a lot of people that feel a certain way about Trent Richardson, so I had to ask.
Yeah, he's just a bust. I mean, I know the Colts, they traded a first-round pick for him, but he just was a bust. I thought he was going to be good. You know, I don't feel no type of way. He was just a bust, and, you know, he's pick number 3 overall, and, you know, some running backs just don't – some have it, some don't, and he just didn't have it. But yeah, I don't, you know, it is what it is, man. But yo, bro, let's get to this NBA All-Star weekend. That's what I'm doing tomorrow night after I make my surfing turf for my lady. Shout out to my lady, man. She just got nominated for this big award in tech, man. So shout out to her.
Shout out to her,
you know what I'm saying? So she's definitely loving on the boy, treating me like the black king that I am, you know. You know, like I was rapping some Project Pat to it the other night. Had to steak chitterlings on my plate.
You rapping that Gorilla Pimp?
Yeah, she had never heard it before. She had never heard it before, man. You know what I'm saying? If you know anybody knows my lady, she kind of straight laced and everything. You know, for those who know me, I'm a wild nigga, so so we like mad different. But yeah,
we hoping she tames you a little bit, brings you down a couple of notches, you know, get you.
No, you didn't. No, I'm a wild nigga. Yeah, man. So let me ask you this: what's your favorite All Star? Give me your favorite All Star memories, man.
I don't know if I have one that's
well, this memories.
Things that stick out to me when I think All-Star, the very first thing that sticks out to me was that damn Tracy McGrady self-oop off the backboard that in the All-Star game. I remember like watching it like, is he about to throw it off the board to himself? Like, because I didn't see anybody else there, but he threw it kind of like awkward. So it was like, yeah. Oh, he's about to get it in. So I remember that. That first dunk contest with Vince Carter and Steve Francis, everybody who knows Bowtie Fresh, I'm a huge Steve Francis fan. And I know he looks a certain way now and kind of, you know, hit rock bottom and whatnot, but the franchise.
Give him a job, man.
Yeah, man, the franchise.
Give him a job, man.
Man, but that franchise dunk contest, man, franchise was taking it to Vince, man. And like I get a lot of flack for it because I'm like, man, I almost could have gave that dunk contest to franchise. However, that's not taking anything away from Vince. That was just a spectacular dunk contest to me. Both guys killing the damn game.
It wasn't a robbery. We'll talk about the robbery and the dunk contest when I speak.
Oh, here we go. that was a hell of a damn moment, man. A hell of an ill moment was damn Dwight Howard trying to do the Superman thing. Not that that was a great moment, but it was just one of those moments like, oh, here we go. Like him trying to like actually like kind of go vertical or horizontal, I mean, and do the Superman thing. Like it was kind of dope, but at the same time it was like, ah, it was all right. It was kind of corny, kind of cheesy. And then, you know, you got one of the greatest moments, the his airness versus the human highlight reel dunk contest. So, I mean, this is a whole lot of moments.
Robbery. Nick should have got a 50 on his last dunk. That was a robbery. They gave it to Yellow Eyes because he was at home. And I'm sure he had on like some type of ill suit when he came in there with who's
I was gonna say, look, but before you continue with the slander of the greatest, here's a moment that was an actual game moment. I can't remember what year it was, but it was the year that the Iverson and Kobe and all of them was in it, and the West came back from like a 20 or 25
the
point
East
deficit.
Came back.
Oh, that's what I meant. The East came back.
Like, that was like 2001. It was Marbury and Iverson.
Yeah, that was a hell of a damn game too. Like that was a moment that sticks out to me also.
Yeah,
Shaq dancing in the pregame with the Jabberwockies. That's another one that sticks out to me. Just a little fun stuff, man.
Yeah, that 2001 because it's to me you can really show the skilled NBA guys when the game is close in the fourth quarter when it's like go time when they can show you really how good these guys are because showing in the NBA and everybody in the NBA is good. There's some people that are elite and great. But when it's like go time and them guys can like they start hitting like them contested you know shots and all and the best players in the world, that's when they like the game really steps up. In the first three quarters, you know they just play you know like playing for the fans and all they showing different stuff up. But that fourth quarter when it's a close game, bro, it's a whole you know that's when guys like really lock in and that's when it gets fun, man. So, and another memory for me, when the last was the dunk contest with Aaron Gordon and Zach LaVine? Yo, that was one of the best ones, man. It's not up there with Neek and Jordan because the fact – I think the dunks actually were better. But I think the fact that Neek and Jordan were – you know, they're two Hall of Famers. You know, so the – you know, the – the prestige of having two of the greats at the time going against each other. Now, Zach, I mean, Gordon and Aaron and Levine are not. They're good players. But, y'all, as far as dunk for dunk, that was one of my favorite contests, hey, man. So
that Levine dunk where dude threw it off the little brace, the little back part that holds the backboard up, and Levine came through with the East Bay Funk off of that. That was nasty, bro. Nasty.
Yeah, man. So I'm ready. I'm ready for that, man. So
I was Tiana Trump nasty.
Oh no. Nasty, nasty.
Nasty, nasty.
Hey, man. I just after seeing Tiana Trump, I was just like, I don't even know. I don't even, if I was a single man, I don't even know if I want that. I'm like, nah, I might pass. Might be too much for me. That ain't even sunshine. That's an eclipse. Like, are you doing that?
No, you can't pull the DOS. I got mine. Yeah, better get yours.
No, thank you.
No DOS.
Now that's shout out. You know, that's one of the things. You just gotta go sit back and you have to clean yourself with a hot towel. Shout out to my nigga Bread. He said,
I forgot about Bread.
Yo, I used to work with a dude named Bread, and I'm gonna protect his name for the innocent. He used to say he used to cheat on his wife by you cover yourself by, you know, washing yourself with a hot towel, no soap, so she won't smell any soap. Dog, I fell the hell out.
But, Bread was a savage dude. Yeah. Bread was a savage dude.
Yeah, he said he laid this big girl out real decent. But hey, man, so let me ask you this, man, about All-Star Saturday night, man. So I'm gonna give you the names of the skill test, three-pointed dunk contest. I want you to predict the winner, and I'll do the same.
Okay.
So the skill test, you got Mike Conley, Luka Doncic, De'Aaron Fox, Nikolai Jokic. Oh, man, I'm sorry. Kyle Kuzma, Jason Tatum, Nikola Vucevic, and Trae Young.
I'm rooting for De'Aaron Fox, but I'm gonna roll with Mike Conley. I'm gonna predict Mike Conley.
I think Fox is gonna get it because he's so damn fast.
That's why I said I'm rooting for Fox. I just know Mike Conley's a veteran.
Yeah, man, you can't root. It's either who gonna win. So you say Mike Conley gonna win?
Yeah, I'm predicting Mike Conley.
Yeah, you can't be hedging.
But I want De'Aaron Fox to win.
You see this nigga out here hedging his bets. All right. So 3-point contest. We got Devin Booker, Seth Curry, Steph Curry, Danny Green, Joe Harris, Buddy Hill, and Dame Lillard.
I am gonna go. Man, it's hard to bet against Steph, but I'm gonna go with a guy. I'm gonna go with Buddy Hill. I'm a roll with Buddy Hill.
All right. I am going to go because it seems like the best shooters don't ever win the contest. Hey, man, for whatever reason, man, I am going to go the anti-Mike J pick.
I'm going to go ahead, my bad.
I'm going to go with Joe Harris.
Right on.
Oh, nigga, I wasn't doing that for you. No, I just
– ain't Dirk in that bad boy, too?
Yeah. Oh man. Now, actually, I'll take that back. Scratch Joe Harris. I'm going with Kemba Walker. Got to go home.
Kemba.
I don't know. Watch Kemba like score like a five. But
right.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't scroll down long enough. All right. So dunk contest. We got Miles Bridges, John Collins, Hamidou Diallo from the Thunder, and Dennis Smith Jr. Yeah.
It's between D'Alo and Dennis Smith. I'm going with DSJ. I'm rocking with DSJ.
I'm gonna go with Miles Bridges. I'm gonna go hometown. I'm gonna go hometown twice. And shout out to the homie Demetrius. He live in Charlotte, so he's kicking it during All-Star Weekend. So
hey, that's what's up.
Shout out to him. So I'm sure it's gonna be a lot of talent in the city.
Talent.
Hey, man. So
I'm rolling with DSJ, man. I really hope the dunk contest is legit, man, because it seems like the dunk contest is just like hit or miss, man. Like, it's either like really super weak for like 4 years, and then it's like a one good dunk contest. Like, I hope there's some creativity come out, and you know, I hope cats really bring it, man. I'm waiting for somebody to like I want somebody to come in and like challenge. Like, I want somebody to actually have someone challenge their dunk, like just bump, like just boom on the boy or something. Man. You know what I mean? Just something different, man. Like, you know,
I'm just saying, all it takes is one false step and somebody to get, you know, get hurt. Yeah. But yeah. Honestly, this is what I would think if I was gonna fix a dunk contest. If I were the NBA, I would sponsor like a dunk off. So, like, all these cats be doing all this stuff on YouTube, and then when the person gets the most votes, they get to actually, you know, get a chance in the dunk contest.
Yeah.
Open up to anybody, you know, that one person, because they ain't got nothing to lose. But man, that stage, them lights is big. And then what makes the dunk contest like fall with dude be missing dunks back in the day, Yellow Eyes and all the rest of them, they was hitting them on the first dunk. But when you have, like, multiple dunks, it just felt, even when you having some bad, nice dunks, even some guys dunk like, damn, you know. They couldn't jump like this, but if you miss like two dunks and you knock it out on the third, it's like, oh damn, you know, you like all the you know, the ambiance
player out of it, yeah.
Because you missed the dunk. But I'm going, so you know, we got that, we'll put that stuff down. So you got DSJ, I got Bridges, I got Kimba, who you said you had,
and you 3-point, I got Hill. I'm taking Buddy Hill.
I got a what did I picked
you got De'Aaron Fox.
You got Mike Conley.
I took Conley. Yeah, going hometown with Conley. Shout out Mike. Jack alma mater LN.
That's right. That town in the building. Shout out to them LN girls. They won regionals the other day. So shout out to them, man. Yo, man. So I want to run something by you, man. Before we get to let's talk about it. Yo, man. So you know, I just recently heard this Soulja Boy and what's Shorty's name? What's the name, man? What's the one who was with the Rob Kardashian? Black China, man. They I think they're a couple now. And shout out to one of our homies, Mike Jack. You know, that is, you know, Soulja Boy must like substandard head. So I bet you that.
Hey, I thought he said lackluster.
the lackluster.
I thought Mike Jack hit him with the lackluster. Maybe, hey, man. Shout out, yeah, Mike, man. Jack. He was throwing shots.
Hey, man. Oh damn! So it's just like, yo. So can you imagine a stinky Gucci headband and some lackluster head? That'd be like the worst night. I bet you they bedroom smell like a nasty pimple inside. You know, he Soulja Boy like he like head putting in some work. And it, you know, this is nothing worse than that. Somebody act like they're putting in some work and it sucks. Like, we can be done. I can go play. I can go do something else in my time. But you know, that's neither here nor there. That's my old day.
My guy doing it. He doing his taxes while she's trying to top him off. Hey, like, yeah, next.
I know, right?
Here we go.
He like, I'm ready to read a Bible verse. It was, and for tips, ladies, you know, you put on that Tiana Trump. She's a game changer. She's a game changer. But yeah, man. So let's get to this. So man, so I watched the whole Steve Harvey Monique little 6-minute clip about her issue. Did you check it out,
or
did you?
Just I didn't see it. Yeah, I saw about 2 minutes of it. I didn't see the whole 6-minute clip. I saw about 2 minutes of it. But I did see it, kind of catch a little bit of the gist of it, man. So yeah, go ahead and take us off on this, bro.
All right. So you know, they're talking, and Steve was basically at first was like, hey, you know, you need to chill because, you know, once you start talking about, you know, Oprah and Tyler Perry and Lee Daniels, your whole narrative of what you're complaining about, people aren't even listening to, because it makes you come off singing bitter. And then, you know, later she's like, about integrity. And understood, integrity is like at the basis. I've lost things because I ain't selling out my integrity. I ain't selling out this podcast. I ain't selling out nothing. But it's also, right, you also got to, there's a duality as being black in America that you got to know how to toe the line and still keep your integrity. And I think that when she starts saying screw all these other people, that I think she lost some of her point. What do you think about that?
Right. I feel the same way, man. I think that I feel what she's saying, and I understand what she's saying. I understand where she's coming from. I just think that the mechanism, the delivery, the way she's going about it is a little bit wrong. Multi-Fresh is a firm believer of, I don't have to throw anybody else under the bus to make my points or make myself look good or feel good. And I think that her coming out and saying negative things about, you know, Lee Daniels and Oprah and all those type of things, like, whether it's true or false, whatever happens behind closed doors in relationships, that's on them. I think that she can present and have a good following and have a good argument about what she wants to say and what she wants to deliver without doing that. And I think that that's where a lot of people have the problem with what she's going about doing. You know, take it back to this whole simple, you know, boycott Netflix. Don't do nothing. Watch Netflix. And everybody like, psh, whatever. You know, I'm me and four other people are paying for this damn, yeah, you know, account. So I think that it's just the way she's going about doing it. Like I said, it's not to discredit or discount anything she's saying. I think that it's a lot of validity there. I just think that it's the mechanism in which she's doing it. That's just my opinion. And I, from a Steve Harvey perspective, again, I get what he's saying, but he really, really does teeter on the line of that, you know, Tommen and Coonin, chucking and jiving type thing. He teeters the line. I think that he says and does a lot that keeps him away from it, but sometimes there he comes across where it's like, you know, he's going to do whatever it takes. If he got to, you know, get pissed on by somebody, okay, I'll do it, you know, because it's going to give me some money and it's going to, you know, whatever. Like, that's where I see the integrity part that she's talking about. He's willing to do just about any and everything to get his. I don't know, man. It's a very thin line that I think that he teeters. I get what he was saying about him being the, you know, the foundation and the driver for him and his family and his kids and his grandkids and so forth and so on. And if he crumbles, they crumble. Like, I get what he's saying. But at the same time, like, let's say he is that and he's doing all that, but then his grandkids are like, oh, well, you know, you let this 70-year-old white man piss on you, literally piss on you, just so you can, you know, get this gig on this show or whatever. So, like, what message are you sending? Do whatever it takes. Let whatever happens to you, you know, happen just so you can get this money or get this bag. I don't know. So, I mean, like, I see both sides of it. But for Monique, I really do think that it's just her delivery and the mechanism and what she's going, the way she's going about doing it.
Yeah, I feel definitely I feel the same way, man. It's one of those things of you gotta have that balance, and we can talk about the duality of work, right? I know that I'm the only black man in the room, and I'm not sure about you, but you have to make people feel safe, but you don't have to like sell your soul for it, you know, like, because I go that route of people think, oh, you're so laid back, but then when I say something, I raise my voice and I'm an angry black man. But it was just weird going back to Steve Harvey, because he was talking about, we can't do this, we black. And then the crowd was cheering, but most majority of the audience is white.
Was white, yeah.
I honestly would have felt better if the conversation had been on his radio show, because the audience would have been more diverse. And the fact that, but I understand why, you know, it's going to be fit Monique, because it's more of it's a bigger platform. So I don't know. I think Steve Harvey maybe meant well. He just didn't explain it well. So I don't know. I don't know. It's one of those things, man, with Steve Harvey, because, you know, he's done things, and this is kind of like, you know, like, all right, you know, what are you doing now, Steve? And it's constant, you know, with him. It's, you know, like you said, it's always that fine line of what he's going to shuck and jive. And I know he does a lot of stuff
for him.
He gets back. So, you know, I don't know. I think he doesn't explain himself well when he does these things. So, I don't know. So,
like I said, it's difficult. I mean, like I said, I understand both points, and the topic at hand is very touchy, because it has a lot of social tones about it, but I understand how probably particularly touchy it is for them, because they are famous, and the slightest word or the misinterpretation of something they say, it could affect them, as it has Monique. So, like, I get it, they're trying to toe the line, but I think that you definitely have to choose, you know, what it is you're going to try to drive home and deliver, and do the best at doing that. And right now, both of them in this circumstance kind of just left a little bit on the field, and, you know, didn't take it on home.
Yeah, so I don't know. The whole Monique situation has been interesting. I wanted to catch it, because I don't feel I never get the fact that Steve Harvey's full-fledged Koenig. I know he does a lot of things, but, you know, but he's also in a situation where he's getting a lot more money. So you have to, you know, of course you're trying to, like, balance it out where you can get these checks from different people and still help others. So I get him, but – you know, you also gotta have your integrity first. And maybe he feels like he does. I don't know. I can't speak with Steve Harvey, but I know we want to kind of run through that, man. So, you know, we'll see what goes on with this. I think I always said back when we talked about this before, if I was Monique, these times that I was on these platforms, beyond, like, I mean, your integrity is one thing, but I would just be coming with the jokes because I would be trying to use that platform to open up different people who don't know who Monique is to get those. Because she's done a lot in comedy. She's done so many.
She has.
And I'm never taking anything away from her talent, but I would use that platform to kick. I would be kicking these jokes and these jabs at people like, oh, damn, Monique is funny. So when I go back to the table to negotiate.
That's what a lot of people were saying. People were saying
like, bad. Like, I got it. Like, here it is. Like, here's a tour. Here, I have these things because I've been on these different platforms. Like, if I was at the time of the Breakfast Club, and she was calling Charlamagne Leonard. Flame the hell out of him the whole show, and he would have took it, and then it would have went viral, and it would have been more than this Lenard. It would have been like these jokes behind it, you know what I mean?
So there's different t-shirts.
Yeah, that would have been there. So Monique, get you a podcast, you know? Come, you know, hell, I will produce you. You know,
hey, come on, a grown man niche podcast. We'll chop it up.
Well, we could, you know, we'll talk about the Parkers. We'll talk about Professor Ogilvy. You know what I'm saying? Yo, remember that joke that my man kicked on Professor Ogilvy?
Stanley, man.
Stanley, yeah, I was out here wilding. But man, hey, man. So let's get to the throwback stuff. Man, it was two albums that came out. One is like 10 years old, and the other thing was like 15. So let's talk about Drake, So Far Gone, man. So, and first of all, are you a big Drake fan?
Yeah, I rock with Drake. I'm not like a Drake stan or whatever his following is called, but I like Drake. I rock with Drake, man. I fucks with his music. I make sure I check out his songs on, you know, or his albums when they come out. And, you know, I can't do like a whole Drake album. So I listen to it all the way through. I normally listen to it in kind of like in segments. But I would classify myself as a Drake fan. Yeah.
All right. So tell me about So Far Gone, man. Did you listen to it when it first came out? Like when it first came out years ago?
Yeah, I did. I listened to it when it first came out. And I liked it, man. I think it had some smooth little songs on it. It had some vibes on it. Like, I liked that song Successful that was on it. Excuse me. I liked Unstoppable. I liked Uptown. Like, those are the ones that really stand out to me. Like, it's just, it was a smooth little album, man. I'm not going to say it was his best one, but I thought it was pretty damn dope.
And for me, I don't dislike Drake. That's when you're wrong. He got some cuts. I'm like, oh, yo, you rapping. I like Drake when he raps. I mean, it's not for me. I mean, it's like, I'm, you know, 36 years old. So Drake is not real. I'm not really in Drake's consumer zone. So Far Gone came out, I heard some of the songs, but listening to it the other day was the first time I listened to it as a complete body at work. I mean, I heard Uptown. I heard Successful. I like Fear is actually my favorite song on the album. So, yeah. You know, he's talking some real stuff. I you know, I like that. But I don't know. I just, you know, I don't think I've ever, like, really sat with a Drake album that's, like, went front to back and listened to it multiple times. Because, number one, they play it so much, you just kind of get tired of it. And then
I don't think that's the thing with Drake. You're inundated with him so much.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, God, I'm just tired of him. Not that you dislike him, that you're just tired of him. But that's a topic for a whole other show, because Bowtie Fresh has an issue with just radio in general and playing the same seven songs over and over and over. But that's neither here nor there, man. I agree with you. That's one of the biggest problems with Drake. You're just so inundated with him that you don't even get a chance to appreciate his talent or appreciate his, you know, songs or flow or anything like that, because it's just like you're just force-fed Drake.
Yeah, I don't feel like, I guess for me, I don't, with my music, there's a, typically something I really like, there's an emotional connection that I can tap into. Mm-hmm. Like, yo, I'm feeling what this person is saying, or it could put me at a point in time. Like, if you name an artist, I'm like, oh, I remember when I first heard this, maybe not the every particular, but I can give you, like, moments in time in my life that resonate with the music. Drake, it's not, there's nothing there. There's nothing against him, it just doesn't fit with me. So when we talk about this next album, I'll have a quick story that way that resonated with me. Drake doesn't, but you know, it was a cool album. Like, he makes good music. It don't have any soul to it. I think that's what it doesn't touch me. It doesn't have any soul to it. So, but yeah, I don't know. But yeah, shout out to the Drake fans. So far, I know it's a lot of y'all. So, you know, we'll put some stuff on the Instagram, man, and we'll get further into it with, you know, what our peoples, our fans. Yo,
Young Drizzy.
So let's talk about Kanye West's College Dropout. And I talked with Botana, we talked about this. I was like, do we want to talk about it? Because, you know, once my man started wearing a MAGA hat, I'm like, yo, I don't really rock with you like that because you on some suck-ass shit. But I feel like we need to talk about it because this album, to me, is a classic. And it goes back in time, we were like, was it 2004? So we were like 22. So life was like so much different for us back then. So for me, I remember buying an album, and I had my car, and shout out to actually one of our listeners, somebody we didn't know, both of us didn't know for years, my homeboy DJ Dave, Dave Porter. He sold me
a car. Shout out DJ Dave in the ATL.
Yeah, man. So he sold me a car, I bought it, and you know, I was like, all right. So I went and got a radio put in that bad boy. And I was with my homeboy Dat. We was going to see our other homeboy. Hell, I'll be forgetting everybody's acronym. I'm just gonna call their names out. Dre and JB, right? So I just forget. Anyway, so we was going to Nashville. So we waiting. JB's the uncle put the radio in for us. So we finally get there. So we leave like mad late. But yo, we just running College Dropout like back to back. You know, we ran back like twice and then listened to some other stuff to make them 5 hours to get down to Nashville, man. So I just remember, man, bumping it like, yo, this shit is tight. Because I heard Kanye on, I knew he made tight beats, and I heard him on Through the Wild. I was like, oh, that's tight. You know, he made the little song with the jaw broke. But I wasn't expecting the album to be that good, man. So I think that's the difference. The
album was game-changing, man. Like, I think that album done a lot, not just for him, but for hip-hop, for the genre of music, man. Like, in my opinion, that album was just classic. And I know right now Kanye's in a different place and all that type of stuff, but man, this College Dropout Kanye, fucking genius, man. Like, dude, this album was crazy.
Yeah, so that's where we are with that, man. So we talked about it, man. So what's like your favorite? What's your favorite songs on College Dropout?
Jesus Walks, Workout Plan, Slow Jams. Like them three, Graduation, the little short like I guess you can call it intro, interlude, whatever, little short Graduation Day thing. That was a little dope, man. Like there's so much Through the Wire, of course, but I'd probably say Slow Jams, Workout Plan, and Jesus Walks were probably my favorites on that album.
I gotta go back through. I wrote them down, but I can't find my notes, man. So I know for me it was Spaceship, Never Let Me Down. They was flowing on that. Even like I remember being in college and the homie Jay Ivy was doing the damn poetry. I was like, damn, I should do that at the little open mic to try to holler some chicks. You know, never let me down. My filling into the cause I'm brown. Snap, snap. You know what I'm saying? I like Slow Jams. I like School Spirit. I like Two Words. I like Get 'Em High. So yeah, it's Monk Bang. The only thing I didn't like was all the skits. I understood why he did it. I also like Last Call too. That's probably one of my favorite songs on there. But because he really talks about rapping, but talking about his life before he got the deal. But yeah, that Monk was a banger, man. That's the only thing I didn't like was just so many skits. It was like, damn, skip past this. I want to hear the music. But yeah, that Monk was a banger, man. And this, I remember writing the paper about the visuals from All Falls Down, about black commercialism and spending and all that stuff. I wrote it in my African-American literature class. And that's when I was already woke by then, but it was a whole bunch of fine girls in that class too.
I was gonna say, man, I remember the same thing. I remember doing a lot of college work to this College Dropout album. I remember writing a lot of papers and spending a lot of time and libraries and that sort of deal, and just having this running while I was working. So it was funny because, again, College Dropout, and I'm sitting here trying to get my first degree.
I was like, yeah, you College Dropout already, Kanye, but I ain't great dropout. I'm great to get this damn degree. So shout out to that, man. That's like, now, and of course it's hard for Kanye to go back. I'm not expecting him to do anything else to this type of album because he's a different point in life. He's a father, he's married,
right.
It's different. I mean, he's just made so much more money, but it's hard for me to get beyond like the sucker shit of the MAGA hat. But I feel like this was an album that didn't emphasize any of that. This was Kanye, I wouldn't say at his core, because maybe he always wanted to be the person he is now. But it was a refreshing listen, because I hadn't listened to it in a while. Refreshing listen to Kanye before everything changed. So.
Yeah.
It was a dope listen to while I was sitting at my desk at work, getting my vibes on. But man.
Yeah, man.
So, but brother, it seems like we about done with this episode, brother. So go ahead and take us on out, man, and we get this mug, produced, copped up, and shopped up.
Yeah, man. So Botar Fresh is motivational for this week. It's kind of kind of really, I don't want to say personal, but I think it takes a personal spin for folks just because of the day and age that we live in, and you see a lot of different stuff on social media or so forth and so on. But the quote for a motivational quote for this week is, when writing the story of your life, don't let anyone else hold the pen. So like I said, I like that quote because you see so much going on social media and people trying to be social media famous and present themselves in a certain way and floss this and flaunt that. And, you know, you got that aspect, but then you have some individuals struggling, you know, they want to live the life that their parents may want them to live or that their siblings, or they're trying to compete with siblings or other family members, or other friends. And just let your hand hold your pen. And, you know, just live your life. So that's kind of the message that I wanted to send and hopefully, you know, inspire some folks to, you know, overcome those barriers this week. And that's the motivation for Bowtie Fresh.
No doubt, man. Before we get out of here, I want to ask you a serious question, man. So I seen your man Yellow Eyes the other day. He had his bad bitch clothes on with his hand
on. And he said, I'm going to ask you a serious question. And then he said, I seen your man Yellow Eyes.
Yo, man, was he giving y'all Jordanaires life with his hand on his hip? With the bootcut jeans?
I was more concerned. I was like, where the hell he get this old, like, sheepskin, like, fleece jacket thing? Like, I don't even know what that was.
Man, you're giving y'all life. Yes, honey, yes.
You know, oh, no.
Mike out here got his bad bitch pose on. Boy. Mike, like, look, y'all see the bootcut jeans and the Travis Scott J's? it didn't match anything. So, yo, man. So shout out to Yellow Eyes, man. I'm sure he's gonna have that leather suit on and doing the wobble all-star weekend game long. So any people who sell cigars, dark liquor, and, you know, cheap suits, MJ will be in the building. But yeah, man. But
no doubt, man.
Appreciate everybody rocking with us. You know, remember to get rate, review, share the show. You know what I'm saying? We appreciate it. We're doing this independent out the trunk. So actually my brother Bowtie, we'll probably catch up with him tomorrow. Got the Black History Grown Man-ish t-shirts on. So I'm sure Bowtie, once he rocks it, we'll put it on loud and proud.
Yes, sir.
On the Instagram. So, you know,
yes, sir.
Review, share, and we will holler at y'all next week.
Peace.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.